Good evening, everyone. Good to see you all. And it's not until you get up the front you realise who's here. So it is good to see you all. If you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And verse 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. In your Bibles. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Let me pray before we look at this part of scripture together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a speaking God. Father God, we thank you for the encouragements this evening. And Father, we pray now that you would speak to us by your word. Help us to listen. Help me to speak clearly. And may we all know more of the Lord Jesus from this evening. Amen. So in our Bible reading this evening, we have a meeting between Jesus, a sinner, and a group of holy men, also known as the righteous. The one group thought that they had arrived in terms of spirituality, and the other party, the individual in our reading, was really low down in the world's eyes, really low down in his community, certainly. And this is something we all do, isn't it? We rate and we rank people all the time. So whether it's Saturday evening and we're watching BBC One and Len shouts, "Seven!" Or whether it's the X Factor and we're hearing Simon and Co. rating those who are performing. Likewise, I think they still do it, but on a Sunday, if you open up your newspaper and you look at the football and the teams that played in the various football teams, each player will get a score out of 10. And if we were going to, in this passage tonight, rate the two main characters who were dialoguing with Jesus, well, the Pharisees, they'd probably rate themselves as probably 11 out of 10. And Matthew would probably come maybe 1 or 2 out of 10 in the kind of spiritual sense. So in the passage tonight, we're going to see how Jesus speaks kindly to the one and harshly to the group of holy men. So let's have a look at the action. Let's look at this action together. Look at verse 9 and 10. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. The one who is ranked most lowly is the one in our passage tonight that Jesus speaks very highly of. In most gospel writings of this account and of Matthew, he's referred to as Levi. But we get in this story that he's sitting at the tax collector's booth. And so with that, we know that he was a tax collector. And if they had the equivalent of the Sunday Times rich list, let's call it the Israel Times and their rich list, he would score quite highly. He was not short of a bob or two. Well, what do we know about him? Well, like most
tax collectors of that time. He would have worked for the Romans, collecting the taxes, and as a result, would be very unpopular amongst the common man, because obviously he was working for Rome. And at the same time, he would be known as very corrupt. As he was becoming richer, those around him and in his community were becoming poorer. He knew everyone, and everyone knew him. He was physically rich, but spiritually, he was very poor. He seemed to be servicing his physical bank account very kindly, but his spiritual one, on face value, maybe he could be described as overdrawn and in the red. In most people's eyes, he would not be associated with, because, like I said, he was becoming richer as everyone else was struggling to make ends meet. And in God's eyes, as people looked at him, he was far away. He was far away from what people expected. And yet, we get this picture of him and the words of Jesus which speak so kindly of him. Jesus doesn't start his encounter with Matthew with a rebuke and tell him how far off he is from God and that he needs to get his life in order. But he begins with two words. Those two words in verse 9. Follow me. Follow me. Two words. Not a 2-month course like Christianity Explored or Just Looking or The World We All Want like we're going to be doing soon. But he responded to Jesus with two words. He could have maybe, let's just think about this for a moment, he may have observed Jesus going around in his community. He may have, for instance, chatted to Peter and Simon as they were giving their taxes, as they too would have recounted the time when Jesus spoke to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Some of these personal stories may have had something to do with Matthew following Jesus. But that's all Jesus needed to do. Didn't have to go through some great discourse. He didn't have to go on some apologetic course to kind of win him over. But Jesus just had to say, follow me, follow me. And then following on from that, in verse 10, we get this picture of Jesus sitting, having dinner with Matthew at his house. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, verse 10, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Eating in their culture was no means to an end just to fill your stomach. To eat in that culture was a sign of friendship, was a great bond between two people. And so this is the picture we have of Jesus showing and identifying with this man and showing that he is having this great bond with him. So this is Matthew in our story tonight, the man who was far off from God, who responds to the call. And moving on to verse 11, we read not just about the sinner in the first verse 9 and 10, but we move to verse 11 and we look at the righteous. Verse 11, let's look at verse 11 again. Verse 11 says, when the Pharisees saw this, that's Jesus and his disciples eating with Matthew and the sinners, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? A question can reveal a lot about the person who's asking the question. So whether it's BBC One's Question Time, as you listen to a question, and you know that the person who's asking the question has already made up their mind, the person has already declared what they think by their very question. And this is true of the Pharisees as they object to what's going on around them. So the question can read a little like this. If Jesus is so special and holy and righteous, how can he contaminate himself with these people, like tax collectors? And as it says in the New Living Translation, not sinners, but more powerfully at this context, the scum. The scum. How can Jesus identify with tax collectors like Matthew and his mates and the scum of the world? Why would someone like Jesus do this? This surely is not in his job description of someone special. Surely he should be in the temple, they may be thinking, reading holy books, finding out about what it means to be an obedient follower, praying around the place. Surely this should be what Jesus should be about. Remember, and it's worth remembering and considering at this point, that the Pharisees think that they've got things wrapped up. They believe that they have this right relationship with God. They're taking the moral high ground. They, after all, know their scriptures. They would, in our evangelical language, be described as good Bible-believing folk. They'd be described as holy. And they'd look at others in a disregard because they were not pure. They were not clean like them. And so this question says so much about these Pharisees. So much. And then look at the response of the Lord Jesus. Verses 12 and 13. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So Jesus' response to this question actually reveals his purpose. And we see that because we see that the Lord Jesus shows that the main problem in the world isn't how holy you are and how far you've gone, but how short you are. Jesus says, doesn't he, that the main problem in the world is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. Why did he make this statement? Well, it shows his state, it shows his purpose, doesn't it, of why he came into the world. This is why Jesus calls Matthew. Jesus knows that Matthew is sick. Matthew probably knows that he's sick and he is in need of a healer. Jesus knows that Matthew's greatest need is forgiveness, acceptance, and friendship. Do we see things like the Lord Jesus at this point? It's very easy, isn't it, to think about those that we believe need the Lord Jesus. And it's a challenge, isn't it? Because often, those people that we think need the Lord Jesus are often people like us. People like us. Often, isn't it? Because those are the people that we keep company with. Often it's loved ones. Often it's people that we work with. Often it's people in our neighbourhood. And generally, we think they're people like us. On Wednesday night, if you were here for the members' meeting, I had the privilege of being able to share what had happened in the first 6 weeks of my time here at Hook. And I was most encouraged. People seemed to still be awake at that point. And also, I was able to share some of the hopes and dreams about the future. And one of those things was this evangelistic course that will be starting on the 3rd of January. Put it in your diary, please pray about it. And also, one of the challenges I had for myself, but also for everyone here, was to think about someone that you could bring along. As Pete shared earlier, being specific in our prayers is a really good and an important thing to do. So think about someone that you could pray for, that you could invite. That was the challenge that I gave you, who was here. That was a challenge I gave myself. I left here pretty encouraged by very encouraged by the meeting. Went home, had the traditional cheese on toast after I've had an evening meeting, church meeting that is. And I was switching on the news, and the first thing on the London news was about the drugs problem relating to the homeless, and about this kind of these drugs which are appearing in an epidemic format, whereby many homeless folk today are just taken in with this, and there's been one or two overdoses along the way recently. And I looked on that and I thought, there we go, typical, there we go, it confirms everything. The homeless who can't get their life in order can't even deal their drugs properly. There I was. And you know what? Reflecting on that, it hit me straight away. How Pharisaic am I at this point? How Pharisaic am I in being proud, in judging people for not being what I think they should be? And you know what? Tonight, and since that time when I was judged, they are the people who need, like everyone, needs to follow Jesus. That's a challenge, isn't it? About how much we are and how much we have in common with the Pharisees. Because often, we often like to identify ourselves with the good guys in Scripture, and we don't like to think like we're like these Pharisees who Jesus spoke most harshly to. And yet this is what's in our passage, and this was certainly the challenge for me. And so Jesus not only speaks about the kind of people that need him, but also he corrects the Pharisees for their wrong understanding of what following God is all about. We can see that, can't we? When we go to the part in our passage when Jesus says, following where he speaks about the doctor, the healthy not needing a doctor, and he goes on, doesn't he? He says, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That's the start of verse 13. And so at this point, he's challenging the Pharisees. To put it another way, he's saying to them, boys, not that Jesus was Welsh, but boys, get back to basics. Get back to basics. Read your Bible. Read your scriptures. And those of you knowing your Bibles well here this evening will know that those words that Jesus challenged the Pharisees with about them reading their scriptures was Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. And it was a challenge to the people about where they were. You see, the people were doing the outward ceremonial things, and yet their heart wasn't changed. And all we need to do is to carry on reading the remainder of that verse, chapter 6, verse 6, to read the following. So listen to these words. This is what verse 6 of chapter 6 of Hosea says. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Second part of that verse says this, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. And an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. You see, the people then were doing the right things outwardly in their performances, in their sense of thinking they were pleasing God by what they were doing, and yet they had lost sight of the one that they were devoted to. They'd lost their vision of who it was that they were worshipping. That certainly was true for the Pharisees as they performed their religious acts, as they read their Bibles, as they studied, as they tried to live what was a holy life for them. They'd lost the heart of their relationship with the all-powerful, all-knowing, loving, merciful God. On one way they had it right, but in another way they were so far off. And when you know God and his heart, you will know that he is a God of mercy. And he looks out for those who are far off. He calls people who are nowhere near him, and he longs for them to know him and be friends with them, just like Matthew and his friends and those who were described like the scum.
And the challenge here is quite obvious, isn't it? Have we lost sight of God this evening? Who he is and what he wants of us?
Have we got so locked in to a routine, which is good, but it's not what it's ultimately about?
The routine of the disciplines that we speak about and the application so often in church life about important to have the disciplines of Bible reading and prayer and fellowship. All really important good things of what it means to grow and to be disciples of Jesus. But if that's all we're doing without loving the one that we're doing it for, we've lost the plot. This is what was wrong for the Pharisees, and if we're not careful, that could be true for us as well. We can do all the good things, come into church, all those other things I've reeled off, and yet forget the one who we are to love.
So the closing words of Jesus reminds us of Jesus' heart and mission plan. Look at that again. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
In the Anglican Church, there's a great emphasis on confession, and sometimes that can become rote and that can become routine without the meaning. But it's a good thing, isn't it, to confess? Because when we confess, we realize we're not God, and we realize how far we are from God. And as we confess, we are reminded of the God who loves us, not because of who we are, but because of the grace that God shows, but whilst we were still sinners.
Remember this evening that this passage is part of the whole series of the book of Matthew, of reminding ourselves of God's kingdom, which is very different to our kingdom and the kingdom that we live in now. It's almost back to front. It goes totally against what we think is the norm and right. So we saw that, didn't we, in the Beatitudes, as we saw Jesus expand what it meant to live in God's kingdom. And then we've seen in chapter 8 and through chapter 9, the actions of Jesus as he demonstrates what being in the kingdom is all about. And ultimately, we will see through Jesus' death and resurrection, turning around these kingdom values as he forgives us of our sins as he dies on the cross. And he defeats the one enemy that, as we heard this morning, that no man can defeat, that of death itself. So this evening, to close, are we like the Pharisees? We can certainly have Pharisaic tendencies this evening. And are we going to look at those people like Matthew, have a heart for them, and believe that Jesus can work miracles, that Jesus can call anyone, as it said, the scum? And this evening, are we going to be devoted to the Lord Jesus? Not the practices that make us close to the Lord Jesus, but actually to fix our eyes on Jesus and to follow him. Let's pray. We go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Father God, we thank you that the Lord Jesus came to save people like me and like everyone here this evening. Because on our own, we're powerless and we needed a rescuer. Father, we thank you for the reminder tonight that you call and you can call anyone. And Father, forgive us for the times when we can be Pharisaic and we can judge people and think that they have no right. And Father, we thank you again that our story and the story of many is that you have called us and we are now righteous because of Jesus.